2, deal with your emotions constructively. Have you ever said to yourself, if only I weren't so angry, or if I didn't cry every time I tried to talk about it, maybe we could actually work it out? We can deal with problems effectively when we're in control of our emotions. Angry spouses usually fail to hear what their mates have to say, much less respond to them in a reasonable way. We often confuse two things, the behavior of another and our own emotional reactions. This is why we're likely to say, "He makes me so mad," or "She drives me crazy." These are excuses. No one else can make us feel anything. Our mate's actions can affect us, but we ultimately choose, consciously or subconsciously, how we're going to feel about their behavior. Whenever we get upset with our spouses, we're letting their problems become our problems. When you get upset, ask yourself, do I react or am I in control of my response? It's important to understand as much about ourselves as possible, although this sometimes means facing unpleasant realities about ourselves. It's normal to have angry, resentful, or hurt feelings toward our mate. However, when we allow such emotions to persist, or we choose to dwell on them, they inevitably will be destructive to our marriage. Most of us have full-blown emotional reactions when we get extremely angry and feel it's the last straw. When our outburst is over, how do we feel? Do we justify our behavior by rationalizing, "They made me so mad, I couldn't control myself"? This is a behavior pattern we develop over time. It doesn't mean it's right or even works for you. It's just a habit. Ask yourself, as a couple, are we able to resolve the issues, or do our emotional reactions and behavior only make the situation worse? If changes need to occur for you to respond in a controlled way, then take this opportunity to learn how.
Here are a few ways that can help. A, recognize your emotions. We must acknowledge our emotions for what they are and how they affect us. Because of feelings, we experience not only the downside of life, but also the positive emotions of joy and happiness. Ironically, we cannot know joy unless we felt sorrow. Many individuals are convinced that the magnitude of their joy is directly correlated with the intensity of the sadness they felt. Therefore, it's important to give ourselves permission to feel our full range of emotions. Stuffing my emotions was a significant problem I had in my previous life. I call it my previous life because I've done so much since then to change the way I view and react to the world and face life. I am a peacemaker. I would do anything to keep peace in the home and in the family, and this became a significant problem for me in my previous marriage. I was a classic avoider. I believed that conflict was a clear sign that something was wrong in our relationship. I felt if I ignored the things that bothered me, they would go away, and it would get better. Rarely did we bring up problems we needed to discuss, so we never became very good at solving them. So I began to stuff, and stuff, and stuff. Eventually, there was no room left to stuff the emotions that had built up over 18 years, and I was in trouble. It took years for me to deal with these stuffed emotions, and the result of avoiding issues. I learned the hard way to deal with things as they come up, and that putting them off only leads to more problems. It is still a challenge for me not to fall into old patterns, and I still have to force myself to confront the issues as they arise. Those who deny or stuff their feelings inevitably realize there's no more room to stuff, and all the emotions they denied over the years come back to overwhelm them. Emotions have to be recognized and dealt with, now or in the future. So take the opportunity to feel whatever emotions your life brings you. deal with them appropriately, and try not to react to them. All marriage partners will occasionally feel resentment, frustration, and anger toward their mate. So it's normal to have negative feelings toward our spouses. When we allow such emotions to persist and fester, they will be counterproductive to our marriage, making it impossible to constructively resolve marital conflicts. Everyone needs to learn how to work through negative feelings quickly. The book Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy by David Burns, M.D., gives useful information regarding this topic. When dealing with problems, if you're feeling out of control, take the time you need to process your feelings and get them under control. Go for a walk, work out, slowly sip a tall glass of lemonade or a mug of herbal tea, hoe weeds, shovel snow, whatever it takes to move yourself out of the situation and determine how to respond appropriately. If either of you are feeling stressed, give a cue and then withdraw to regain control. Rather than running away from problems, this is actually a practical strategy to regroup until emotional control is restored and an objective perspective can be established. Choosing how we feel about our experiences also helps us deal with them, especially past experiences that can haunt us. If there's a past trauma that has not been dealt with, feelings from the trauma return, influence your life, and a choice must be made. Accept the feelings generated by the experience. Don't judge the feelings as good or bad, but merely as emotions that do exist. Then ask yourself, what good are they doing me? Are they affecting me in a negative way? What do I need to let them go? Would it help to confront my mate and tell him or her how I feel? Regardless of how bad an event may have been, neither you nor your mate can change the past. Therefore, it's best to minimize references to most negative past events and focus on present behaviors that need to be resolved. Focus on what you can do now to work toward a more satisfactory future together.
B. Reframe the situation. No matter how strong our feelings, we can use our thoughts to channel them constructively. We need to accept problems for what they are right now in our life. Once we've accepted a problem for what it is and is not, we can begin to eat the elephant one bite at a time. Many of us react to our problems with, "It's the end of the world. That can never be fixed," or, "She's going to kill me." In reality, however, the problem is not going to mean the end of the world, and it probably can be resolved. We can reframe problematic situations by changing the way we view them. Avoid statements of helplessness or hopelessness. "We'll never be able to do it," "She won't listen," or "I'll never get through this." Such thoughts reinforce a negative view of the world. Instead, create a positive perspective of the world and its problems. "It's hard, but we'll both be stronger when we get through it. She doesn't seem to listen, but I will look for opportunities to discuss it with her." Or, "We don't quite know how we can solve this, but we'll find a way somehow." Change your attitude, and the world might change too. Face problems in a positive way, rather than charging ahead, armed and ready for war. You can choose how you will feel about whatever comes your way. Viewing conflicts and problems as opportunities for growth is a step in the right direction. It opens the door so you can go through it together to make things better for both of you.
G. Ask, what can I learn? Life is the ultimate classroom, and every experience we have can and should be a teacher. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? It may be a really big aha that changes you forever. Perhaps it makes you determined to prevent it from ever happening again, or you come to the conclusion, "I'll never do that again." Remember the Transformers toys? It was amazing how an ordinary dump truck could be transformed into a mighty fighting machine to destroy evil aliens from outer space. That's how you need to approach problems in your marriage. Transform your daily challenges into learning opportunities. Children have a natural fascination with life. Everything they do is a learning experience. Have you ever watched children learn to turn over, crawl, or walk? Every move they make, even falling, gives them the experience they need to do it better. Oh, that we could reclaim that childlike attitude and realize that our mistakes can be our greatest teachers. If we always have to be right about everything or do everything the right way, little room is left for us to make mistakes in life and thus learn from them. This is one concept I've had to learn the hard way. In the past, I was fearful of making mistakes. My view of the world was that if I said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, or made a bad decision, this somehow meant that I was a bad person. Therefore, I lived my life in fear of the consequences of my mistakes. We can become paralyzed by our fear of making mistakes or of being perceived as bad because we did something wrong. We need to remember to separate the action from the person. As parents, we still love our children when they do something wrong, and we try to teach them that what they did was wrong, not that they are bad. As marriage partners, we need to treat our mates in the same way. Actions or attitudes can be bad, but people themselves are inherently good. I struggle every day to remember this principle as I face my challenges of life and continue to change my view of the world.